BBC News with Julie Candler. The leaders of Russia and Ukraine say they're satisfied that the ceasefire agreed in eastern Ukraine is generally holding. President Putin and his Ukrainian counterpart Petro Poroshenko discussed the truce by phone a day after the deal was reached. Both stressed the importance of international monitoring. Richard Galpin is in Donetsk in eastern Ukraine.
It does seem to be much, much calmer compared to how it was before the ceasefire came into effect. We went up to the airport here, which was the scene of the most serious fighting over recent weeks. We did hear a couple of explosions and a few gunshots, but I think that was the exception rather than the rule. And certainly local people were saying to us that basically had been quiet there as well. So overall, certainly in Donetsk City, it seems much, much better as a result of the ceasefire.
A BBC correspondent in the port of Mariupol has heard shelling outside the city during the evening. The man charged with an attack on a Jewish museum in Brussels in May has been accused of having previously been a jailer of Western hostages in Syria. A French journalist who was freed in April after nearly a year in captivity, Nicolas Hénin, told journalists in Paris that Mehdi Demouche was feared and violent. Mr. Hénin said when he was not singing, he was torturing.
Mehdi Demouche was some kind of egoistic person. He did beat me a number of times. I don't know of any bad treatment to any other foreign hostages coming from him specifically, but I witnessed him torturing local prisoners.
A lawyer for Mr. Demouche expressed surprise at the allegations. The suspect is awaiting trial in Belgium for the gun attack on the museum that left four people dead. Kurdish forces have recaptured a strategically important mountain in northern Iraq from Islamic State militants with the help of American airstrikes. Mount Zartak overlooks a plain to the east of Mosul, helping whoever holds it to control the land below. Our correspondent Jim Muir has been to the mountain.
On the windy heights of Mount Zartak, Kurdish Peshmerga fighters were picking out the villages lying on the hazy, dusty plain hundreds of feet below. The Kurds, backed by American airstrikes that they say made a big difference, recaptured the mountain and large stretches of rugged terrain in a short, sharp battle which left more than 30 IS fighters dead. We saw some of their bodies still sprawled among the rocks where they fell. But retaking Mosul is a much more daunting enterprise. It's a huge, mainly Sunni city. The Kurds have no intention of trying to do it alone.
Reports from Lebanon say that a second soldier taken hostage by Islamic State militants has been beheaded. Photos of his murder have been posted on social media networks. He was among a number of Lebanese soldiers taken captive in the border town of Arsal last month. World News from the BBC. The medical charity Médecins Sans Frontières, MSF, has expressed concern over a three-day national lockdown announced by Sierra Leone to try to halt the spread of Ebola. MSF said that in its experience, lockdowns did not help control Ebola as they ended up driving people underground. Umaru Fofana is in Freetown.
The thinking is if people are restricted to stay wherever they are, then they will be able to identify cases at the initial stage, in which case they can treat them, or largely possible that they can treat them and they can get well again. And two, to be sure that the virus doesn't get to new areas, which happens only when people move from place to place. The most important challenge will be the fact that it's going to be nationwide, and there are lots of remote villages, there are lots of remote towns, and the government is not really sure how to be able to police this in those areas.
President Obama has decided to delay his plans to force through immigration reforms until after the U.S. midterm elections in November.